measurement systems. Quality is based on product's compliance to expectations and requirements. Customer expectation at Germany, let us say, he is standing there in Germany and exporting the parts from India to Germany. They have a measurement system and I also have a measurement system. When I measure the diameter here of 100 parts, I get the average of 62 millimeter, which is exactly as per the customer requirement within tolerance. When I export these parts to Germany, they reject my lot because they say that diameter is not 62, it is 62.5. Customer expectations are that the product should be answerable for their measurement system, which is of a higher level. That is the expectation. Quality is measured, it's a measurable characteristics. Quality measurement should be based on quantity and cost of non-conformances. Poor quality raises costs unnecessarily. Customer will return those parts and I have to bear all that cost. Poor quality increases the size, cost of the hidden factory where waste, scrap, repair and above all customer dissatisfaction. I can't tolerate customer dissatisfaction if he goes away from me. Where can I go? Where will I stand? Customer faith is very important. Value and quality can be most effectively improved by measuring non-conformances in terms of quantity and cost and systematically attacking the dominant non-conformance. Non-conformance is something which is not in the specified limits, lower specification limit, upper specification limit. If the parts are not within these two limits, that is the non-conformance. What is non-conformance? Something which should be there and it is not there. That is a non-conformance. For example, I should have a procedure for something, some process. I should have a procedure, but I don't have a procedure. That is non-conformance. Something should be and it is not there. It is non-conformance. One of the quality measurement principles, ISO 9000:2000, is factual approach to decision making. Effective decisions are based on the analysis of data and information. The first challenge, developing and implementing a quality measurement system. Because I have told you many times in this chapter only, that if the measurement system is not capable, if it has bias, if it is not repeatable, if it is not reproducible, I will take wrong decisions. I will be exporting the parts to the customer and customer will reject those parts simply because my measurement system is not capable. And it is a big loss to me because that customer will not give me repeat orders. Measurement system is very, very important. Once I define my project, when I define what I should do, I should be able to measure it accurately. And the measurement system should have the least count, which is much, much lower than the customer specifications. The first challenge, developing and implementing the quality measurement system. Measurement data are used more often and in more ways than ever before. For instance, decision to adjust a manufacturing process or not to adjust is commonly based on measurement data. For example, I have a gauge, there is an automatic turning machine, and I am doing a diameter turning on that process. When I check 5 parts, the average is coming of this 5 part as 62 millimeters. It is okay, I continue the process. Then after half an hour, when I take 5 parts, I measure it, it shows me that the average is 62.5. Then I adjust my machine. I adjust my machine so that I get average of 62. But since the measurement system is not okay, I take a wrong decision to adjust my machine, because by adjusting the machine, I actually produce the diameter which is less than 62. And that is crap. Because if the OD, outside diameter, is less than the specification, I have to simply throw away those parts. Why I have taken this wrong decision? Because my measurement system is not repeatable. My measurement system is not reproducible. On the basis of that wrong measurement system, I take a decision to adjust my process and create scrap. Imagine. They are compared with statistical control limits for the process. And if the comparison indicates that process is out of statistical control, then an adjustment is done. But adjustment should be done based on measurement done by a capable measurement system. Otherwise, we will be taking wrong decision. The process is allowed to run without adjustment if the measurement system tells me that everything is okay. But if the measurement system is not capable, even if the parts are defective, I will get information that the parts are okay. That also is not allowed. So, the basic thing, what is required, is the capable measurement system. Another use of measurement data is to determine if a significant relationship exists between the two or more variables. For example, a critical dimension on a molded plastic part molding, I must get certain dimensions. But whether the dimensions will be okay or not depends on temperature of the feed material. If the feed material temperature is varying, then diameter of the molded part will vary. So, this is one important thing which we have to control, that is the temperature of the feed material we have to control. Input we have to control. Then output will be okay. What we have learned from Six Sigma is, if you want good output, you have to control the input. Don't only check the output and keep on scrapping and repairing the part. Control the input. Control the temperature of the feed material. You will get 100% okay parts for critical dimension on a molded plastic part. We know that if the Y is that critical dimension, X is the temperature of the feed material. Such a relationship could be studied by using a statistical procedure called as regression analysis. Sometimes afterwards, I will show you the example of the regression analysis, because that will tell me what is the relationship between an X and a Y. The benefit of using a data-based procedure is largely determined by the quality of the measurement data. And that is the importance in this phase. What is the quality of measurement data? If that quality is poor, I will be taking wrong decisions and producing thousands of defective parts. It will become a horrible situation. It will result in more scrap and rework, which is not at all required. So, measurement system, understand this measurement system, because when we move ahead, if our measurement system is not capable, all further decisions will be wrong. Existing measurement system can be erroneous, then we have to improve the measurement system. If quality of this data is not acceptable, then it has to be improved by improving the measurement system. That is what I just now told. The quality of a measurement system is usually determined solely by the statistical properties of the data. Other properties of such as cost, ease of use are also important. That means the gauge or measurement system should be easy to use. It should not happen that only operator 1 is able to operate it or measure it, and operator 2 will make mistakes while using it. That is reproducibility. It should be easy to use. It should be cheaper. It should not be very costly or expensive. And statistical properties such as bias, such as repeatability, such as reproducibility should be okay. The measurement system must be in statistical control. Variability in the measurement system must be small compared to the variability of the manufacturing process. If the manufacturing process has the variability of plus minus 0.1, then the measurement system cannot have the variability of plus minus 0.1. It has to be much, much lesser than that. Maybe 0.001 or maybe 0.01. Variability in the measurement system must be small compared to the specification limits. My specification limits are plus minus 0.1. Then the variability in the measurement system should not be plus minus 0.1. It should be much, much less than that. Maybe variability can be only 0.01, 0.001 or 0.005. The increments of the measure must be in small relative to the smaller of the process variability of the specification limit. The statistical properties of the measurement system may change as the attempts being measured vary. And then calibration. Now, what is the time now? Maybe let us say it is 1 o'clock. How sure you are that it is really 1 o'clock? I am sure because my watch is digital, and today morning I have adjusted watch along with television time what they have shown me. So I am sure that it is 1 o'clock. This is what calibration is. Calibration, a weight measuring system, shows a part of the weight as 5 kilograms. But how sure we are that it is really 5 kilograms? We must calibrate it with the standard measurement system. We should adjust that as per the more higher level of standard, and then only we know that the what weight is measured by this system is 5 kg, really 5 kg. That is called calibration. In general use, calibration is often regarded as the process of adjusting the indication to a measurement instrument to agree with the value of the applied standard within a specified accuracy. I now discuss statistical process control. Statistical process control is a process used to control a manufacturing process on the basis of statistical methods, output of the process, input of the process, measured by statistical methods. Samples of parts are taken and their characteristics values are measured and entered in a form, the so-called control chart. I go to the machine, then I take. First, I set the machine and I take 5 parts, I measure them, find out the average, and if it is not okay, I adjust the machine. I adjust the machine till I get all the 5 parts within the specification limit. The average of that measurement or diameter is as per the specification limit in the mid of the specification. For example, mid of the tolerance. For example, the diameter is 9 plus minus 0.1. I will adjust the machine such that all the 5 parts are exactly on 9.0. Till that time, I will adjust the machine and then continue the process. After the sampling interval, let us say half an hour, what I have decided, I will take the 5 parts again and then I will calculate the average reading. If it is in the middle of the tolerance, it is okay. If it is within the control limits, which are much lower than the specification limits, I will allow the process to continue. And then I will plot all these on a control chart. Statistical quantities are calculated from the characteristics values. For evaluation of the current state of the process, I will calculate X bar of these 5 parts. I will calculate S, that is the standard deviation of the process. And then I will do the average of all x bars, that is x bar bar, and then I will calculate the average of all s, that is s bar, and then depending on those x bar bar and x bar, I will calculate the capability of the process. The control chart was developed by Mr. Schuhart in 1920s. SPC, that is statistical process control, is an application from the area's inductive statistics. Not all the measured values are available, as would be in the case with 100% inspection, because 100% inspection we are not able to do. We should take samples after a definite interval. Maybe 5 samples or maybe 3 samples, we decide that. Then conclusions are made concerning the population on the basis of small data set, the sample values. Sample values, let us say 5, the sample of 5, the average reading of this 5 is within the mid of the tolerance. For example, tolerance is, I will again tell you, if the tolerance is 9 millimeter plus minus 0.1, and if the average of the values is at 9.0, I allow the process to run. The basic concepts behind SPC are the controllability and capability of the manufacturing process. That means if I continuously take 100 parts and if I plot the X bar and S, if I get all the X bars within the control limits, I say that the process is stable. A process control is characterized by stability. All the parameters of process spread must be taken into consideration and be capable of correction in the event of unwanted changes in the process state because of special causes. For introducing the SPC, I cannot do it on the spur of the moment. I must have a plan. For that matter, everything what we do must be planned and prepared. Planning and preparation, systems and procedures are the four words with which I have worked during entire of my career. Planning and preparation. While introducing SPC also, I will do some planning. That planning is selection of the product characteristics, which ultimately result into customer satisfaction. Then the product characteristics can be diameter or a length or roundness error or straightness error. All these things which are given in the product drawing as CTQs required by the customer. I am again giving you the example of that diameter because that diameter is so important. If the diameter is not okay, it will not fit into customer's products. It is so important. Then that has to be controlled. Selection of the product characteristics, what is to be measured? Direct or indirect inspection characteristics, the process must be capable of being controlled with reference to the inspection characteristics. That means before I introduce statistical process control, first of all, I find out whether the process is stable at all or not. If the process is not stable, then I repair the machine. I don't just start putting the charts on the machine and start taking readings and readings and readings. No. Before introducing the statistical process control, I first find out whether the process is stable or not. It must be possible to manipulate the manufacturing devices such that the parameter in question can be changed in desired way. That means if I adjust the tool, I get the proper characteristics. That adjustment of the tool or adjustment of a slide should result in the desired dimension. The materials are entering the process must meet the set quality requirements. If the material is harder than what is required, then that process will not be able to produce that particular parameter. For example, when I was working in my Bosch company, one needle which was being ground, we were doing this grinding operation for years together. The roundness error of that seat was always in control. But suddenly what happened? They changed the material specification for that needle. Material became harder, and with the same process, we started getting roundness error. And we were struggling. That is the impact of the material entering the process. Procurement of measurement system for the inspection characteristics. I must have the measurement system which is suitable for that characteristics and should be capable, should have repeatability and reproducibility. Then selection of the control chart, for example, X bar S chart. What is X bar? Average of that sample. What is S? It is the standard deviation of that sample. What is standard deviation? That is root mean square value of X minus X bar. Sample size normally N equal to 5 is taken. This is the planning what I do. Then determining the sampling interval. If I take 5 parts now, after how long I should take the next sample? That sampling interval, maybe it is half an hour, maybe it is 45 minutes, I have to decide. After correcting errors of after tool changes and readjustments, 100% measuring must be done until the correct process average is achieved. The last 5 measured values are considered as the first sample. As I told you, the first sample, I adjust the machine so much that I get the desired value as average. Determination of the sampling interval as per the expected mean fault occurrence frequency. That means I check the parts 100%. The moment I start getting erroneous parts, that is the interval in which I should take the next sample. For example, I am producing continuously 100 parts. First 5 parts are okay because I have adjusted the machine. Then sixth part, seventh part, like that I keep on working, and I find that the 51st part is having the error. Then I have the sampling interval of after every 50 parts, maybe after that time. Then tool changing frequency. It can have the tool changing frequency. So for example, I have to change the tool after every 45 parts. Then I should take the sample after every 45 parts. 5 samples within the mean tool life and within the adjustment interval. Like that, in my planning, I decide the how much should be the sample, maybe 5 parts, and what is the sampling interval. Maybe it is tool change frequency, or when the fault occurs, maybe 10 samples within this period. I should take 10 samples within the fault occurrence frequency. Like that, I can decide the sampling interval. Then the inspection interval is to be set on the parts related or time related basis. Then in my planning, I take the machine capability study. Machine capability is I continuously run 100 parts and plot them, and then find out what is the machine capability. It represents a short-term study that is intended to discover purely machine-related influences, not special causes, not like tool has broken, that no, only machine-related causes, machine-related influences. It is necessary to check whether processing equipment can meet the set requirements with an accurate degree of certainty before it is introduced for mass production, whether that machine is able to produce my quality. The characteristic values of at least 50 units manufactured one after another without setting the machine. First, I set the machine, then take first 5 parts, set the machine till I get average value in the mid of the tolerance, then I start producing 50 parts continuously without any adjustment, and then I plot these values on a control chart. Pre-production run. Determination of control limits requires a knowledge or estimation of the process parameter. This is done by a pre-production run. So 25 samples of 5 parts each are necessary for reliable results. I will show you how it is done. Look at this. Here I have taken 5 parts. That is the first sample. And average is 62.5 and S is 1.1. I calculate, I plot these X bar values here and I plot this S values here. What is S? S is standard deviation or sigma, what we call. All the values, you can see all the values are within control limits. This is red is upper control limit, yellow or green is the lower control limit, and all the S values are plotted here like this. My machine capability depends on these S values. If they are more fluctuating, then my machine is not capable. Like that, this is the control chart. Average of this all 50 parts is 62.2. How many parts I have taken? I have taken 125 parts. And what is the average? 62.2 millimeters. What is the average S? What is the average standard deviation? 0.845. The control limits for the SPC chart will be calculated like this. Upper control limit is mid tolerance plus 1.23 into S bar. Then lower control limit is mid tolerance minus 1.223 average X bar. So these are the control limits, like 63.03 and 60.96 are my control limits. You can see here, these are my control limits. And then I find that all the X bars are within the control limit. So CPK1, that is machine capability number 1, is 1.89 and machine capability number 2 is 2.05. So CPK is 1.89, which is minimum of the two. CPK is the machine capability. How to calculate that CPK? Is CPK1 can be calculated like upper specification limit minus X bar upon 3 sigma, and another CPK2 is X bar minus lower specification limit divided by 3 sigma, and lower value of these two, CPK1 and CPK2, is taken, and that is CPK is 1.89. Accordingly, the X bar S control charts using the above control limits are to be maintained. 1.89, what is the meaning of this? 1.89 means it is a very good machine capability, because machine capability should be always more than 1.33. Run chart, look at this run chart. I continuously take the samples and I plot the graph. A run chart is a line graph of data plotted over time. For example, in 1994, this was the reading. Over the years, the reading has gone up. There is a pattern in the process. Data over time. Because they do not use control limits, run charts cannot tell if your process is stable, but you know what is happening on the process over time. However, they can show you how the process is running over different times. And this is the Pareto analysis, what I have told you already earlier. That is, documents, customer complaints are maximum on documents, then on product quality, then on packaging, then they are delivery, and then others. The document complaints, which are further analyzed, that maximum document controls are on quality certificate error. And then quality certificate is missing. So then I know where to work. This is the measure phase. Measurement of the baseline data by a capable measuring system. With this sentence, I can describe the whole measurement system. Measure phase, which is very, very important after the define phase, because how accurately you define and how accurately you measure, the next phase depends on the accuracy of these two phases. Thank you.